right, welcome to the special financial report for Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. I'm Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. And Japan is in real trouble. And, well, a quote has leaked out online that is rumored to be from a high-level Bank of Japan operative who issued this blood-chilling warning. And I want to read it for you. It's translated from Japanese. It is, quote, "The measures we are preparing will shatter the lives of billions. To the people of the West, I offer my deepest, most solemn apology. This is not personal. May God have mercy on us all." So that is not normal language in regular financial markets, is it? It sounds kind of like something that a person might say if they're about to pull the trigger on a mass detonation of the global Western debt system or something like that. And perhaps that's what's about to happen. Well, if we look at the Japanese 10-year government bond yields, equivalent to the U.S. Treasury 10-year bond, over the last, well, let's say year, it has risen from about 1.5% to 2.8%, and it continues to rise rapidly right now. Of course, those of you who are into finance, you understand the ramifications of this. First, this destroyed the carry trade, which allowed investors to profit from the difference between the yields on U.S. treasuries, which were higher, versus the yields on Japanese treasuries or equivalent Japanese treasuries, Japanese government bonds. So if Japanese bonds were at 1.5%, you could borrow unlimited money at 1.5%. And then if U.S. treasuries were at, let's say, 3.5%, then you would make the 2% difference with essentially zero risk. That was called the Japanese carry trade. So rising bond rates in Japan, or bond yields in Japan, have essentially destroyed the carry trade, even though there's still a small gap between Japanese yields versus U.S. Treasury yields. That gap is not enough to account for the currency translations and the some level of risk that exists in the system. So keep that in mind. Rates continue to rise in Japanese 10-year bonds. That's substantial. The other thing that's happening in Japan is that the currency continues to weaken versus the U.S. dollar. And this is happening also quite rapidly. A year ago, the Japanese yen was worth 1/146th of a U.S. dollar. In other words, it would take 146 Japanese yen to buy $1. Today, that number is, 162. So the yen is getting weaker. It takes more yen to buy the dollar. Now, Japan is in a debt crisis. It's also in a currency crisis. And to simplify this, Japan is going to have to choose. Will it save its debt market or will it save its currency? Because it turns out it can't do both. It can't do both. And I'm reading from, Stern Drew Crypto is an account on X saying about that quote I read you earlier. Quote, "This is no ordinary leak. It is the veiled confession of the endgame. The yen carry trade death spiral has been weaponized. U.S. treasuries will be dumped into oblivion," he says. "The global bond markets will convulse and break. Ancient financial covenants are being called in. The old fiat order is being ritually sacrificed so something far darker can rise from its ashes." That's pretty dark, huh? "The fall has begun. Your savings, your pensions, your illusions of freedom, all of it vanishes into the void," he says. "Prepare your soul. The hour is later than you think." Okay, if you thought I was dark, if you thought my podcasts were black-pilled, you should read Stern Drew Crypto. And he follows it up with a black heart emoji, by the way. "Prepare your soul. The hour is later than you think." Okay, I'm not mocking what he said. I think he's accurate, actually. I think he's accurate. Now, he mentions that Japan will be forced to sell U.S. treasuries. That's one play that might happen here. But there's another alternative that may be even more likely, and I want to cover that with you here briefly. But let's cover the dumping of U.S. treasuries first. This would be used to defend the yen. So Japan is currently the largest holder of U.S. treasuries, holding over $1 trillion of U.S. treasuries. Now, so if Japan is flooding the global market with a lot of U.S. treasuries, then that would make it more difficult for the U.S. Treasury itself to sell new treasuries, that is to sell off new debt. And in order to entice buyers to purchase the new debt, the 10-year bond yields offered by the U.S. Treasury would inevitably have to rise. And if they rise above 5%, it's widely believed by well-informed people, some of whom I've interviewed, that is the beginning of the end of the Western debt market. And perhaps that's what this Japanese bank insider is referring to when he says this will, quote, shatter the lives of billions. To the people of the West, I offer my deepest, most solemn apology. Followed by, you know, may God have mercy on us all. So this person appears to be understanding that he is about to shatter the lives of billions of people. Well, what kind of event in the debt market would shatter the lives of billions of people? And the answer is an unwinding of the debt Ponzi scheme. That's one thing. Now, of course, a currency collapse could also affect billions of people in a different way. But the debt market is, as you probably know, a much more serious issue. The debt market is much larger than the stock market. And if the debt market unwinds, then we plunge into economic hell, like economic Mad Max, very quickly. So this one scenario here of dumping U.S. treasuries would be catastrophic. And it is one of the two most likely scenarios, at least in my assessment. Although I am not, just to be clear, I am not an economist. I'm just a person who understands numbers, and I've been watching this for a very long time. So, of course, always, you know, do your own research and make your own decisions, etc. But be very careful with the way things are going right now. So what's the other tactic that the Bank of Japan could use to try to protect its own debt market without dumping treasuries? Because you can imagine the U.S. would not be happy about Japan dumping $1 trillion in treasuries. And by the way, what if China were to dump treasuries on top of Japan dumping treasuries? You could really see a collapse of the U.S. treasury debt market very quickly. Very quickly. Okay, but the other scenario is that Japan could return to defending, or let's say capping, the yields on its own 10-year bonds. And see, that has been the situation for a very long time until, I don't know, what was it, roughly a year ago, or I don't have the timeline, but at some point, Japan began to let its yields sort of free float in the marketplace. But for years before that, Japan capped the yields, and then the Japanese government itself, or its central bank technically, would print the yen to buy its own debt in order to manipulate the yield rates and keep them artificially low. In fact, that is what gave rise to the carry trade, you know, the Japanese yen debt bond market versus U.S. Treasury bond market. That was because Japan was printing the yen to buy its own debt to keep its own yields artificially low, and it did that for years. The problem with that is that it destroys your currency. And the yen, as I mentioned earlier, the yen has lost tremendous value. It continues to lose value, even versus the dollar, which is a currency that itself is also losing value in terms of actual purchasing power in the real world. So, you know, the dollar is losing its value, but the yen is losing value faster than the dollar. So the yen is becoming less valuable compared to the dollar, which is becoming less valuable compared to groceries or, you know, ultimately, in the long run, gold and silver, things like that. So as a result, if Japan chooses this approach, then its currency will, I don't know, collapse maybe. Maybe that's not the right word. It will erode rapidly, let's say. And this will cause all kinds of problems with other Asia-Pacific manufacturers and exporters, because a collapsing yen becomes a competitive devaluation of the yen currency that then undercuts neighboring countries like South Korea, Taiwan, China, even, you know, exporters out of China, even European countries like German exporters and so on. So this then starts a trade war based on a devalued currency, and it causes all kinds of trade friction and leads to domestic Japanese inflation that further destroys purchasing power for ordinary Japanese citizens, who eventually, although they are Japanese, they're relatively orderly, eventually they rise up. You know, they start to have protests. They start to have, you know, social unrest. Although, again, Japan is a relatively well-behaved country, but there's a limit, even in Japan. So the country of Japan right now seemingly has to make a choice. It can either defend its debt market at the cost of sacrificing its currency and causing domestic political instability, or it can defend its currency by exporting its problems to the world by dumping treasuries, effectively, you know, tossing the Western debt market into total chaos. But Japan itself would be much better off in that scenario. And so those are, I mean, I'm simplifying it, obviously, but those are basically the two scenarios. And what this Japanese, this high-level bank executive, who we don't know his name or her name, what they are saying is that, again, quote, "The measures we are preparing will shatter the lives of billions. To the people of the West, I offer my deepest, most solemn apology." Notice that he's not apologizing to the Japanese people, because based on this, he is not about to take actions that will destroy the yen. He is about, or he's speaking about taking actions that will destroy the West, in other words, the dollar debt market. And that's why he says, "I offer my deepest, most solemn apology. This is not personal. May God have mercy on us all." So it seems almost certain that that's what Japan is going to do. It's going to dump treasuries. It's going to protect its own currency. It's going to try to survive this, even if it means sacrificing its ally, which is the United States, which the United States hasn't really treated Japan as much of an ally, by the way, not since Trump came into office, because Trump has been hammering Japan with punitive tariffs, which I never understood. I always thought you should treat your allies like allies. You know, you shouldn't have punitive tariffs against Taiwan or Japan, for that matter, or South Korea or any of these other countries that are strong allies of the United States. But Trump, who doesn't understand economics, obviously, he doesn't understand tariffs. He doesn't understand much of anything outside of real estate and being bombastic. He thinks that tariffs are a great thing. So he has punished countries like Japan, pushing them more aggressively into this current situation where they are suffering trade export problems, as well as currency problems, as well as debt problems. You know, talk about a trifecta of financial doom. That's what Japan is facing right now. And note, importantly, that some of its key companies, like, let's say, Toyota is being outcompeted by China in terms of vehicles, or to some extent even by South Korea, like Hyundai, which is much more advanced in terms of modern EVs compared to Toyota. Toyota has fallen behind. And there are many other Japanese companies that have fallen behind as well. And some of that is due to, you know, trade restrictions and tariffs. So the way you will know if this is happening is if you check the news and you find out that Japan is dumping treasuries. If that happens, it's time to scramble. It's time to scramble. Hold on to your gold, folks, and your silver. And you may want to acquire more between now and then. If you do, you know, of course, our sponsor, our trusted partner, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, is Battalion Metals at metalswithmike.com. metalswithmike.com. And you can use discount code Ranger and they'll waive the shipping insurance fee. That is, if you want to get gold and silver. But of course, don't take this as financial advice. Possibly I'm reading this wrong, and maybe Japan has something else in mind that I haven't thought of here. But whatever they have in mind, it seems likely, although not guaranteed, that it will impact the dollar and the Western debt market in a very damaging way, which will likely cause gold and silver to spike up in terms of dollar denominations. That's my guess. But who knows? I can't read their minds, and this is a very dynamic situation, so we'll see what happens. But if you wake up one morning and they're saying, hey, Japan is dumping treasuries, boom, that's your sign right there. Probably gold and silver will spike almost immediately if that happens. And you're going to see a lot of people all around the world start fleeing into safety, which is interesting because a lot of people will jump into the dollar or dollar-denominated markets such as the U.S. stock market and the U.S. real estate market. So you could actually see quite a large spike if Japan does this, even though U.S. Treasury yields would have to rise. You would also see a stock market blow off top happening at the same time and a U.S. real estate market strong increase at the same time. So you could see, although this is unusual, you would see the stock indexes and the yield rates of 10-year treasuries and real estate average home prices, all three of those could rise at the same time, which is very unusual. But if you see that, it's an unmistakable sign of what's going on and that it's a blow-off top in the market and probably a blow-off bubble in real estate as well. There's a lot of real estate for sale in Florida right now. Something like one of every seven listings of residential homes in America are in the state of Florida. At least I read that statistic. I was shocked. One of seven or one of eight, something like that. Like, why is everybody selling in Florida? Is it the Big Short 2.0? What's going on? Now, one of the impacts of all of this is that the dollar, of course, is going to continue to lose value compared to goods and services, even as the dollar may gain value compared to other currencies such as the yen. So remember that the dollar index, the Dixie, as it's called, even if that indicates that the dollar is stronger versus a basket of other currencies around the world, it doesn't mean that the dollar is stronger versus real goods and services. The dollar continues to fall because of, inflation, which really describes an increase in the dollar supply. So the value of the dollars continues to fall because dollars continue to be printed, and that is not stopping anytime soon. So getting the goods today that you're going to need 6 months from now or next year remains a smart decision. And let me mention too, I requested to my own team, healthrangerstore.com. We've had this July 4th sale going on. I asked them to extend it to 4 p.m. Central Time today, because I know a lot of people are traveling and a lot of people were distracted by, the 250th events and all kinds of things. And some people didn't see that we had our sale going on, which started last Friday. So it's good until 4 p.m. today. Go to healthrangerstore.com/July4, just the numeral 4 there, July 4. And you can see all the free gifts that we have, a lot of free gifts. Plus, depending on how much you spend, you get free gifts, a colloidal silver mouthwash, our silver fresh liquid deodorant with magnesium and baking soda, or our biostructured silver gel tube, our pine needle spray with silver and iodine. That's one of my favorites right there. I've been using pine needles these last couple of days. And we've got a lot of things on sale, lots of things on sale, and partner discounts with some of our product partners and heirloom seeds on sale, and so much more. Lots of things, including, of course, storable food. So if you want to get storable, organic, lab-tested food at today's prices before the dollar loses more value, then this is a great chance to stock up on that and also support us. So again, that's healthrangerstore.com/July4. And I don't know when our next sale is going to be, so this is a great time to stock up. Also, understand that the Strait of Hormuz situation is not resolved yet. Although, seems like a couple of dozen ships moved through, and many of those ships were on their way to Japan, and they moved through the strait with the permission of Iran. So apparently they've paid the fee. You know, Japan has worked out something with Iran, which is, it's interesting that we're talking about Japan right now. Japan is desperately running low on oil and natural gas, and probably things like helium as well, maybe sulfuric acid, because Japan is a, you know, very strong industrial country with a lot of manufacturing, and so they need these raw materials out of the Persian Gulf. So they made a deal with Iran. Iran let the ships through, and then Trump's people announce, oh, the strait's open, all these ships are sailing through. Yeah, not with the U.S. permission, but with Iran's permission, because Japan is recognizing that Iran is in charge, not the United States. So part of what's happening globally right now is that the U.S. is losing credibility and power and reputation in the eyes of most of the world, while Iran, as we just saw with the multi-day funeral procession of the Ayatollah, who the U.S. murdered, there have been way over 10 million people in Iran who have attended the funeral, and dignitaries from over 100 countries, including high-level officials from Russia and China. It's clear that the world is recognizing Iran's critical importance, Iran's role in the world for decades to come, because of Iran's unique position over the Strait of Hormuz and its ability to control the flows of oil and energy, and also Iran's capability of defending itself against attacks from what Trump brags is the world's most powerful military, which is the U.S. military. So let me ask you this question, and I'm not wishing death upon, you know, anybody, but if our current U.S. president were to pass away from natural causes, do you think that dignitaries from 100 countries would attend his funeral? No, not a chance. They would have parties. They would celebrate it. They would celebrate the end of the tariffs and the end of the wars and the end of the insanity is what they would do. And again, I don't wish, you know, death upon anyone, obviously. But Iran actually, Iran has a stronger reputation in the world than the United States now. And I know that's saying something, but that's true. That's the case. And we're seeing that unfold in real time. Iran is more trusted than the United States. Iran is seen as ultimately wielding more power than the United States. And the only thing the U.S. has going for it is its debt market, its dollar, you know, the liquidity of U.S. treasuries. That's it. That's the last thing keeping the U.S. empire afloat. If that goes, the U.S. empire is done. And it sounds like something's about to happen in Japan that would be a major blow to the U.S. debt market, treasuries, the dollar currency, etc. So what if the United States, all in 1 year, is handed a major defeat by Iran, which has already happened, and then also is handed a financial defeat because Japan is forced to sell off the largest holdings of U.S. treasuries in order to save itself? That would be another major blow to the U.S. empire, and I'm not sure how many such blows the U.S. empire can survive. I'm not saying that selling off all the treasuries would collapse the U.S. overnight, but it would certainly force the empire into a direction that could lead to its demise, especially when China is about to roll out what looks to be a gold backing of its settlement currency to create a more trusted currency for international use, whether it's digital backed by some amount of gold. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. It's not the same thing as BRICS. It's something different. But China is banning paper speculation on gold and silver later this month. So nobody can manipulate the market with paper, just selling paper. So, and China is encouraging its citizens to purchase huge amounts of gold. Why? Because China knows what's coming. One day, China is going to announce, hey, we have 30,000 tons of gold. I mean, I don't know if that's the exact number, but it's something like that. And we have a partially gold-backed currency called the, you know, the digital gold yuan or whatever. And we are now going to buy and sell in this currency. And if you want to buy goods from China, you have to use this currency. If China did that, the dollar would collapse overnight. And so would U.S. treasuries. And so would most other Western currencies. Why? Because Western currencies are worthless. They're backed by nothing. They're backed by, you know, just mindless money printing and warmongering and threats. Whereas if China rolls out a currency backed by gold, even partially backed, like 20% backed by gold, and China rolls out audited, inspected, physical gold, you know, reports of how much gold they have. If it's 30,000 tons of gold, let's say, which is way more than the U.S. has, that's even if you believe the numbers at Fort Knox, which are complete fiction, then the world is going to see that China is the new dominant force in terms of a trustable currency that can't be weaponized against you and that will tend to hold value. And so then that begins the process of the world moving to something like a Chinese yuan currency, not as a, quote, world reserve currency, which really speaks to the debt markets, but rather as a world trade currency, as a settlement currency. See, China doesn't have to control the world's debt markets, and it probably doesn't want to. It doesn't want to issue that much debt. But China would love to have the world's settlement currency, because it is the world's manufacturer, after all, of most things, most electric cars, most robots, most drones, most, almost everything you can think of. So China can actually set the rules of what currency you have to buy Chinese goods with. And if that currency stops being the dollar, which could happen overnight with one announcement, then the dollar is toast. And that day is probably coming. I don't know when. Too many variables at work here. I'm not going to try to make a prediction. Who knows? But that's where this is headed. And that's why Trump wanted to hurt China by conquering Venezuela and taking China's oil away. And also starting the war with Iran would hurt China, because China is a recipient of a significant portion of the oil that flows through the Strait of Hormuz. Turns out China had over 1 billion barrels of oil in their own strategic reserve, so they're not actually panicking. And China planned ahead for exactly this kind of event, and they're way better off than anybody else in the world right now when it comes to energy. Okay, I've got an incredible interview coming up for you today with a senior fellow at the Ron Paul Institute, Chris Rossini. We had an amazing conversation about these topics and, well, not just these, but I mean geopolitics and economics and the oil shortage and so much more. So be sure to check that interview. You'll find it at brightvideos.com. And also you can follow my articles on all of this at naturalnews.com. Of course, I'm Mike Adams, and I thank you for listening. And don't forget, today is the last day until 4 p.m. Central at our online store to save for our July 4th sale, which has been extended by my request to 4 p.m. today. That's healthrangerstore.com/July4, just the numeral 4. And it's good till 4 p.m. Central, so take advantage of it. It's the lowest prices you'll ever see on these goods because of what's happening to the dollar and the supply chains and, you know, transportation costs and everything else. So take advantage of it now while you can, and thank you for your support. Take care. Yes, the Trump accounts are yet another scam, because everything Trump does is a con or a rug pull. And here's why. They say, well, every child is going to get $1,000 that Trump's going to give them. And you get this Trump account. And then that $1,000, if it just grows over time, even if you don't add anything to it, it'll be worth $5,000, they say, by the time the kid is 18. And if you contribute to the Trump account, oh my God, then it could be worth, you know, $250,000 or $300,000 or even more. Well, it's all a lie, and here's why. Number one, they're assuming a 10% annualized compounded return on the money that's in the Trump account. That's crazy. I mean, treasuries aren't even paying 5%, and if they were, our debt market would be collapsing. So to assume a 10% annual return is nonsense. And secondly, when they describe what these accounts are worth 18 years later, they're, in your mind, you're thinking of them in today's dollars, you know, 2026 dollars. And a quarter of a million sounds like a lot, or 300,000 sounds like a lot. But what's that actually worth in the year, you know, 2044? And the answer is probably not much, because the dollar is collapsing in purchasing power. Yeah, the dollar is collapsing in purchasing power. Now, I know the dollar is rising compared to other currencies, but that's just because other currencies are getting weaker faster. In terms of purchasing power, because of all the currency printing, the dollar is losing its value, and it's losing more and more every year. By some accounts, 10 to 15% per year. You know, if you go and try to buy groceries or health insurance or fuel or whatever, you're going to find out, of course, that prices are much, much higher, much more than just 2% or 2.5% per year, as the government claims. Prices are going up more like 10 to 20% per year. And so what does that mean that today's dollars are going to be worth 18 years later? Well, again, not that much. Well, depending on how you apply the rule of 72 and what assumptions you make, the dollars in 2044, even if there's not a total currency collapse, will probably purchase only about 1/6 of what they purchase today. So the Trump account is really another Trump con. It's a Trump rug pull. And if you really wanted to do something for a child to help them have a financial future that's secured, you would give them gold. That's right. You'd give them maybe a tenth of an ounce of gold or something like that, or a quarter ounce of gold. That would secure their future, because that gold would hold value over time. I know ups and downs occur. There are 50% pullbacks in gold and silver, as we have seen. But over time, it's going to hold value against the currency that's being printed into oblivion. So how come Trump's not giving gold to all these children? Oh, it's because the government can't print gold. That's why. They can print currency, and they can trick a lot of people who don't understand mathematics or economics or compounding interest. They can trick people into thinking, oh my God, this is going to be worth so much money in the year 2044. By the time 2044 comes around, first of all, there's a very high chance that the American empire doesn't even exist. There's also a very high chance that the dollar doesn't exist, or at least not in its current form, not with its current value. And there is a 100% chance that it doesn't have the current value, because they will keep printing it into oblivion. Probably by 2044, we will have already suffered a currency reset, which means the dollar is going to be completely reset. You know, they'll add a couple of zeros in principle to it, where $100 is now called $1. You know, this, they did this in Mexico, for example. This has happened in many other countries. And this is the way the government hides inflation and makes things appear to be cheaper, and also loots about 90% of the purchasing power from the people who are holding dollars. So is that coming? Yeah, maybe. Or any number of other scenarios that will destroy the value of the dollar. If you are saving in dollars, you're a fool. If you're saving in gold, well, then you're serious. Then you're really actually saving. Or silver, for that matter, but not in dollars. And the worst part of this is that a Trump account is held under the control of the federal government. Now, of course, you can have it in a bank account, but it's still controlled by the government, which means the government can, at any time, take the money back, confiscate it in, let's say, an emergency. Are we going to be facing a national emergency in the years ahead between now and 2044? Of course we are. Does that mean the government's going to steal everybody's Trump account money? No, not necessarily, but they could. You don't have control. You don't have custody of it. So you don't really have ownership, do you? So you want real ownership, for especially for a child, then again, it's gold. Here, a quarter ounce of gold. We're going to put this in a special place. We're going to put it in the vault. It's going to grow in value compared to the currency over time. Nobody can just take it digitally. It can't be confiscated. Its growth can't be taxed. It can't be taken because of laws being changed by the government in future administrations, because maybe the Democrats get into power, and they hate the name Trump. So they ban Trump accounts, and they just cash them all out, and or take all the money and say these were illegal from the start. I mean, anything could happen when you don't have self-custody. So only fools and idiots believe in Trump accounts, or, you know, Trump cultists who are totally blinded to reality. But I guess that makes them a fool and an idiot anyway. But smart people don't mess around with silly things like that. They save in gold and silver. They take self-custody or have it vaulted privately in a trusted independent vault that's not part of the banking system. And they understand numbers. They understand how this is going to work over time. Those who hold gold and silver are going to end up with, by far, the most commanding wealth, whereas those who are sitting on dollars or dollar-denominated debt or dollar-denominated stocks, whatever, those people are the ones that are going to get wiped out. It always works that way. What a coincidence. So don't waste time with Trump accounts. It's a total waste of time. It's not going to be there when you need it. It's not going to have any value, you know, when your child or grandchild needs it. Best thing is get physical gold and silver. And now don't take this as investment advice, but I would be stacking gold and silver, especially right now with the prices having suffered quite a pullback. Gold and silver pricing is just begging for being purchased right now because of the upside of where this is going. So right now, in my opinion, a great time to buy gold and silver, especially if you want to give it to children or grandchildren or gift it to anyone. And if you want physical gold and silver, our sponsor in this space, which is a trusted retailer, is Battalion Metals at metalswithmike.com. Remember, it's co-founded by Tucker Carlson, and they have very honest pricing, honest products, privacy-oriented, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul people. Check it out at metalswithmike.com. And thank you for your support. Don't take this as investment advice, by the way. But then again, don't get investment advice from Trump either. That would be your worst investment advice, especially if you buy crypto from Trump. You're probably going to lose all that. It's like 95% loss. But Trump will get rich on the crypto, but you won't. So thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Follow all my videos at brightvideos.com. Take care.
It's not over, because that means that the goals of the Zionist American Empire are over, and they're not. They pause from time to time, and then they go back when they think they have an opening. So it isn't over. Even if we get 6 months, a year, 2 years break, it's not over while they have the capability to keep waging aggressive wars and their ideology, while they still hold it.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're joined by Chris Rossini from the Ron Paul Institute. He's a fellow there. He's also the co-host of the Ron Paul Institute podcast, and he's an expert in geopolitics and economics. And I can't think of a better time. Here we are, just having passed the 250th anniversary of the founding of our constitutional republic. Well, allegedly constitutional republic, but to get Chris on to talk about where we're headed and why it's so critical that we adjust our course in alignment with what the founding fathers intended. So welcome to the show, Chris. It's an honor to have you on here, sir. Great to meet you.
Great to meet you too. Thank you for having me on, Mike.
Well, it's great to have you on. And I mentioned in the intro your affiliation with the Ron Paul Institute and so on, but can you give us a little bit more background of your focus and what's on your mind right now?
Yes, I joined the Ron Paul Institute shortly after it began. It was around 2013. And I work with Daniel McAdams, who you know, and of course, the great Ron Paul. He still works every single day on the Ron Paul Liberty Report. I'm on with him as his co-host on Fridays. Daniel is on Monday through Thursday. And we're just continuing Ron Paul's message, even though he's been out of Congress. He still puts his message out there every single day. He works, even at 90, he's going to be 91 next month. And he just does a phenomenal job still. So I'm very lucky to be working with him.
Oh yeah. What a great opportunity. And you may not know this, but I actually, when I did not live in Texas, this is back 30 roughly years ago,
I donated to Ron Paul's Texas congressional campaign as an out-of-stater on purpose, you know?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey, and I work out-of-state, but 2008, 2012, I had the bumper stickers, the T-shirts. It was very exciting. I was watching him on TV. So it is a little surreal, even, you know, 13 years later, working for him. But yeah, he inspired me, and, you know, it ended up working out great.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing in the context of what's happening today is that you can go back to things that Ron Paul said, even going back decades, and find how prescient they are even today, and critical to understand, whether it's his stance on anti-war or excessive taxation being theft or excessive government regulation. Is that something that you hear from people today about how right Ron Paul has been this entire time?
It's actually both. He's a very interesting phenomenon, or it's people that are an interesting phenomenon, because it's always Ron Paul is right, Ron Paul is right after the failed war.
Right.
But it's during it that you hear, I used to support you, Ron Paul, and now you won't go along with what Trump wants to do, blah, blah. You know, if you used, then you never really understood Ron Paul.
Right.
His message never changes.
That's
it's
true.
The same from one to the next. So if you're hating Ron Paul, and that's not to say that the guy is perfect, it's the principles that are perfect, you know, that and that's what, and it's not even principles that he came up with on his own. He latched onto them and spreads them, and that's what we do. And but, you know, he's hated for every war, he's hated for everything that the red and blue teams want at that particular time. And then afterwards, Ron Paul was right.
Yeah.
So it's the same cycle that keeps repeating itself.
Well, last year I was invited and I attended the Ron Paul birthday party in Texas. Nice. And Tulsi Gabbard spoke there in person, I remember. Mm-hmm. And she had a very prominent anti-war message during that speech. And of course, this is consistent with the anti-interventionism that Ron Paul, I think, is well known for. And yet, to your point that you just said, so many people who perhaps used to consider themselves sort of pro-Trump libertarians, if they sided with Trump on this war, they're now in a deep, deep quagmire. Mm. And they are realizing that Ron Paul was right to not get into this. But we're nowhere near over with this situation. So Ron Paul is right day after day after day, every day that the quagmire continues. What would your words of advice be to anybody trying to parse where we are right now with this situation in the Middle East?
Yeah, well, I agree with you that it's not over, because that means that the goals of the Zionist American Empire are over, and they're not. They pause from time to time, and then they go back when they think they have an opening. So it isn't over. Even if we get 6 months, a year, 2 years break, it's not over while they have the capability to keep waging aggressive wars, and their ideology, while they still hold it. And, you know, our government holds this empire ideology despite, you know, duping 70 million Americans that it was something different. So, you know, a lot of people that I notice, and it's a lot less, but there are still people that are still clinging to this, to Donald Trump, you know, thinking that, you know, that if you go against him, you're like a closet Democrat or something. They're so scared of, you know, the Democrats and leaving your herd. But if the guy is doing wrong, which he has, then you have to, you know, leave, or not leave. You don't have to, you know, wave the pom-poms and defend what is so obviously so stupid. This was from the beginning so predictable. Never does Lindsey Graham champion something that in the end you say, boy, that was amazing for our country. No, it was dead from the beginning. Look at the people that were supporting it. And it is. It's a big failure now, even though they're skating around it, you know, the administration and all their megaphones. But they failed for the time being. Now, they may go back and fail again. Who knows? But it isn't over. And, you know, go back to supporting what Trump ran on. You know, if you want to support Trump, hold him to that. You know,
right.
But so many people, they just jump off and whatever he says is what they're going to say. And that's a real shame.
Completely agree. But see, that's the differentiating factor. You know, my audience and your audience, we tend to be people of principle. And we never worship a man, no man. Mm-hmm. We only worship our creator. That's it. Every man, either if they stand for principle, then we can agree with them, we can align with them, but we're not tied to the cult of a man or a woman or any human being, period. But let me ask you to put on your economics hat for a moment here. We are in a supply shock of energy that is being attempted to be papered over by the Trump administration, releasing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Drawdowns that are quite, you know, astonishing. And then also a lot of paper market shorting of oil, betting on the future price of oil being much lower than what the actual supply might indicate. What's your take on where this is actually headed over the next few months? Is oil in an actual shortage? We throw gas in with that, right? So oil and gas, are they in an actual shortage? Or does the Strait of Hormuz not matter? Because I heard that from a person earlier today. They said, it doesn't matter. We found out that it doesn't matter, that nothing needs to flow. There are no consequences. I can't believe that, but what do you say?
Yeah, I don't believe that either. That war was over when that Strait of Hormuz was closed. That was the end. And I remember saying, and I wasn't the only one, of course, but that he's not going to stop. He's going to drag this out. And that's exactly what he did. And him dragging it out, and I was reading your articles too, Mike, the fertilizer, you're going through all the stuff all the effects that are going to happen because of this guy's ego of not ending when he lost, you know, originally, but he had to end when he just couldn't do anything else, you know, and all that time, those months that went by, damage was done. Even though we can't see it right away. A lot of times, that's the way damage works with government. Thomas Massie, when he was pleading by himself, don't pass this COVID, you're going to create inflation. He was lambasted by everyone. And what happened? They passed it, and not right away, but down the line, the inflation, and we're still dealing with it today in 2026.
True.
You know, so it doesn't happen right away, but people are so right in the moment, and the government is expert at it. They'll paper things over and make it look like everything's fine. Everything is not fine. You know, no matter what they're expert at rigging markets. They're making billions of dollars doing it too, you know, and it's even being reported. You know, Trump is making. But rigging ends. It's a temporary illusion. So now I can't say this is what it's going to look like next month. You know, I don't know that anybody can, but I know that that block of time that Trump refused to, okay, I'm done, let's fix this, that has caused damage and we're going to see the repercussions of it.
Well said, and I jokingly have said in the game, rock, paper, scissors, oil. Oil beats paper.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. Because it seems like, you know, the financial markets can paper over things for some time, but eventually the molecules become the issue. And you may not know this, but I run a food science lab, and we ran into this very early on. We use a lot of mass spec instruments that consume helium. And so in March, I told my staff to order a year's supply of helium, which they did, and our gas supplier delivered it. And so we have these massive canisters of helium. 2 weeks later, we got a letter from our gas supplier declaring force majeure on all helium deliveries for the rest of the year. So I told my staff, this is why our lab is still functioning, because we knew that helium molecules were going to be in short supply. We can't function without the helium. The U.S. economy can't function without hydrocarbons.
Right.
And, you know, there's a buffer in the system, but eventually without the molecules, you can't do the thing that those molecules enable. Why is it so difficult for people to understand this?
Well, people, you know, you almost can't fault people because they have their own lives and they have their own responsibilities and they really shouldn't be worrying about stuff like this. You are fortunate that you understand and can foresee into the future, and you're not watching TV and the president saying we won 50 times when he didn't. But that's what most people do, and they want the easy chewing gum answer. You know, that's what it is, chewing gum for the brain, that television. Yeah. And that, but that's what people, they want. Just give me a sentence. I don't want to look into it any further. And Trump will give you the sentence. They have no military. They have no this. We destroyed everything. And oops, you know, everything was wrong that he was saying. But at the time, that's what people wanted to hear. And then they could go back to their lives. So it's partially a human nature thing. And government exploits human nature.
Yeah, true. Very true. And also, wouldn't you say that we have, let's say, since the 1970s, we've lost a lot of mathematical literacy in our culture? I'm not saying that to be anti-American, but just pointing out that our education system run by the government has failed to produce competent thinkers in terms of integers, and which applies to economics. Is that, don't you think that's true?
I would agree with that. I don't know the specifics, but just in general, education in general, I think is, and again, the American population, I think, is just a herd that they just want to get it pacified and supporting whatever they want to do.
Right.
You know, and the fact that you're educated or not educated really makes no difference. It's support Ukraine, support Iran, show a few stupid slogans, and that's it. And that's really all they care about.
Yeah.
And work and earn money so that they can take it. But other than that, why would they want an educated population? Because if you have a bunch of Mike Adams running around, they're going to have a big problem. You know, everybody would call them out and have a problem. But if they don't, if you have the average person that doesn't know anything outside of their own little bubble, then that's so easy to, you know, to mass manipulate. And
yeah,
that's what they're expert at.
Well, and also, if we had a lot of Ron Pauls running around, that would be a good thing, which is part of what the Institute is working on. And I understand you have an event coming up, Labor Day, is it? Is that right?
Yes, we do. It's Labor Day weekend in Virginia. It's called our DC conference, and it's right outside of the Dulles Airport. So if you fly in, you can go right to the event and fly out, which a lot of people do. And obviously there's places to stay all around the airport. So yeah, we've been doing this for a good 10 years now. We have at least two events every year, one in Virginia, one in Texas. You went down to Lake Jackson recently.
Yes.
So we usually have one down there too each year. So yeah, anybody that's interested, go to the Ron Paul Institute website.
And click on what? What's the thing? Programs?
You know what? Did he put... I'm not positive that he put it up there. Look out if it's not there.
Let me try
for conference tickets. Rumble
Institute conferences.
I may be jumping the gun.
Well, no worries. I mean, I'll just tell people ronpaulinstitute.org and look for a link for the event.
We'll have it up there. If it's not up there yet, it'll be up there soon since it's Labor Day weekend.
Okay, yeah, all right, that's perfect.
That's not, I don't work in that area, but if you follow Ron Paul or anything related to myself, we'll be talking about it until then.
Okay, that's great. And you're the co-host of the podcast, and I'm curious about what kind of feedback you're getting now. Are you seeing a lot of former Trump supporters now becoming stronger Ron Paul supporters? Because I'm sensing that in a lot of people.
Yes. People have definitely, it's very hard because there's really nothing to point to with Trump anymore. I mean, what is there? A reflecting pool, soccer, you know, a ballroom, soccer red cards. It's all just nonsense. He plasters his name everywhere. But the important stuff, nothing. You know, I'll give him the border, you know, believing that the border is closed, as they say, I'll believe it. I'll give him that. But others outside of that, it's been a big disaster in my opinion. And not only my opinion, a lot of people's opinions. And that's why Democrats are expected to sweep the midterms. You know, who knows what will happen by then? A lot can change. But it is a gauge of sentiment. the Trump administration is not popular. Nothing like that campaign, which I thought was phenomenal. It almost was, he picked all the stuff that Americans wanted to hear, a lot of Ron Paul stuff. Even, in fact, we were even, Ron Paul was being recruited for Doge and all that. But once that election was over and Elon was kicked out, and the first time that he attacked Iran and said he destroyed everything, obliterated, that's when we knew it was all a big scam. And it has taken people a while to, but now we're July of the following year. It's very hard not to see it today.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Well, there's a lot of talk now about the possibility of a third party. Tucker Carlson, for example, has famously, left the GOP and seems to be talking about a third party. I've heard rumblings from other quarters. You and I might say that, loyalty to a party is still another problem. We have to have loyalty to principles. Mm-hmm. But in your view, what kind of dynamic could be shaping up, being that the GOP has been just such a catastrophe in the minds of so many Trump supporters?
Well, I am encouraged by his campaign. I think the American people really, in general, want what Trump campaigned on. They want.
Good point.
I remember my family members, everybody voted for him, how they were speaking. So I think the American people's heads are obviously better on straight, better than D.C. But, even if you elect a guy who says the right things, he just turns around. So a third party, it all depends on the people and how firm they are and how committed they are to principle. Obviously, Trump is not committed to principle at all outside of Israel. That he's 100% committed to.
But, well, right. But that brings up the question of, even if there were a third party, it would need a tremendous amount of money to be competitive. And then that money always comes with strings, like Trump with Adelson and all those ties you sort of alluded to.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's a very tough because the two parties also, they know how to keep outsiders out.
Yes, they do.
They were changing the rules on Ron Paul. If he's winning, they would ignore him and change the rules right in the middle of the game.
Yes.
So it's, they know to keep outsiders out and how to do it. And Europe is doing it with the AfD party. They know what they have and they want to keep it that way. So it's a very big uphill battle. And with enough propaganda, the average person we can't vote for him. You're going to, they could concoct whatever narrative they want. So it's a very big uphill battle. So
yeah, indeed. Now, you mentioned the midterms will likely go into the hands of the Democrats, which will probably be a disaster for personal liberty. Mm-hmm. And we all understand that. And yet, personally, I can't feel any compulsion to go vote for the GOP right now. I mean, apathy is what will keep GOP voters at home. And that can hand it to the Democrats. But I'm tired. I mean, you tell me what you think, but I'm tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. I feel like I'm done with that.
Absolutely. I don't even know that there is a lesser anymore. They're both evil, just in different ways. The left has its own blue-haired, no difference between men and women version. And then you have the right, where it's, it's all war. Go kidnap this guy, Venezuela. We're going to go to Cuba next. It's all empire. So they're both evil. So how do you choose? Now, it's terrible that Democrats are probably going to win. It's horrible. I remember the Biden years and the Obama years are terrible. But so is the Trump, just in different ways. So it's, which way do you want to suffer? That's your choice. And do you even have to choose? What kind of government is that? That this is what you're choosing? And they make sure to keep out anybody that wants anything to do with our founding principles and our Constitution and the rule of law. I mean, we have rule of law is gone in D.C. Nobody gets punished for anything ever, So we're in a bad spot, and voting our way out of it is a tough one. And then you think, well, what do you do? And the answer is, I don't know. You got to just do what's right in your life.
Right.
And speak. And life is far more complex than our little minds can comprehend. And, you know, the good can come out if you do good.
Does the Ron Paul Institute believe that simply through education of principles that there can be a lot of grassroots self-realization out there about the right things to do? Like, you don't have to endorse a candidate. You simply endorse principles and teach and uplift people and let them arrive at the correct conclusions. Is that a core belief of the Ron Paul Institute?
Yes, and I do believe that what Ron Paul has done over the decades helped to foster a lot of Trump's votes, because he was appealing to that. He was appealing to, not in the Ron Paul way, but the Elon and the RFK and the he had an all-star cast, and it was like a new founding was happening.
Yeah.
You know? And so I credit Ron Paul, again, not only Ron Paul, but for helping to create that environment that Trump could exploit for votes, you know, and the end the Fed, nobody would say end the Fed if it wasn't for Ron Paul.
That's true.
And that's, you know.
And now so, that's not that's even considered very a fringe opinion anymore.
Not at all, yeah. No. So it matters. He has created a good environment. It's just the people in charge of the environment make sure that it's just there for votes. You can vote to check out Fort Knox, but forget about it, you know.
But I love the point that you just made, because I remember at the turn of the century in the early 2000s, very few people understood what the Federal Reserve was, where money comes from, how fiat currency is printed, or frankly, any of these things, or what was a gold-backed currency or a partially gold-backed currency? What does that mean? What was self-custody? And yet these kinds of conversations are commonplace now. And I think a tremendous amount of that credit belongs with Ron Paul.
Yeah, and I would even say that the narrative around Bitcoin is very
true,
rooted in Ron Paul principles, you know, about it can't be inflated away. It can't be taken by the government. These are all things that, you know, are people's minds were receptive to it because they've heard of the Federal Reserve and Ron Paul, and they, oh, look at this. This does that in this way. So, yeah, education matters. And we're against the people that want to make sure that Americans aren't educated. So it's a tough battle.
Right.
But you only need enough. You don't need 51%. You only need a committed minority. You know, that's what our founders were, a very True. Committed minority. They weren't the general population. The general population, it's a fact of life. They follow. And that's it. They follow the most passionate, you know, the one who wins the battle of the ideas. The communists were a tiny group of people. The Nazis started out with a tiny group of people. So we don't have to think of, oh my gosh, this is such a big endeavor. You just have to have enough influential, educated people, and everything can turn around.
Mm. Very important point. I'm sure you would agree when I say that honest money needs to be one of the foundations of an honest society. And it's the ongoing fiat currency creation that allows governments to print the money that they need to run propaganda campaigns or wars or anything that can be weaponized against the people. For example, mass surveillance. I'm not asking you to make any prediction of timelines, because that's impossible, but as this current system falters increasingly, sooner or later there will be calls for a better system of representation of money for trade. What do you suppose that's going to look like? And do you think that the Ron Paul conversation about an honest money system will be a major factor in those future conversations?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's going to need, and I hope that Ron Paul has reached, and I know he has reached, because Elon Musk is, you know, a fan of Ron Paul. So he understands, I believe, the Fed and that kind of stuff. You need the rich, the wealthy, to not be, right now, none of them want to stick their necks out. And can I blame them? You know, because they know that they're dead meat if they do, and nobody wants to stick their neck out.
Right.
But once you get one domino to fall, and then another that sees it's safe, you know, it's safe now to criticize Israel. You know, anybody that criticized Israel before, your career could be over. They'll come after you and this and that and censor you and cancel you. The criticism of Israel is everywhere now because it's safe. So once the wealthy business class feel that it's safe to adopt Ron Paul's principles, things can change and fast. And then all of a sudden you start seeing Mark Cuban talk about gold and this and that. Mark Cuban's not going to do that now because it's not safe. He's not going to do that. He'll get demolished. So when does that happen? I don't know. Probably after a disaster, you know, a financial crisis.
Well,
then
I would,
you know, go ahead.
But I would remind the wealthy that even they are not safe under this current system.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because their wealth can evaporate instantly through a currency reset, government confiscation, hyperinflation type of events. Who knows,
exactly.
Right?
Well, that's what they need is to feel a little bit of heat that they're not so secure anymore. And then that'll nudge them to, okay, it's time to change. You know, that's ideally, you'd hate to wait for a financial crisis. But I guess that's the way of the world. You know, people change when they have to, and they don't want to otherwise. Kind of like a smoker or a drug addict. When they're at the bottom, they're open to change. You know, on the way down, not
humans
so much.
Humans learn through pain.
Yeah,
unfortunately, but wise people avoid the pain by learning from Ron Paul, right? And then they're stacking gold and silver, or they're decentralizing away from the system as much as possible. How much does the Ron Paul Institute, in your podcast, for example, I've heard some of them, but certainly not all, how much do you teach? I mean, you may not use the same language that I use, such as decentralization or financial survival. To some people, that sounds a little too scary. But what are the core principles that you espouse, and what terms do you use to describe those?
Yeah, well, we're not anarchists, and we're not, we're not in that camp. We do believe that there is a proper role for the government, but it should be minimized and actually constitutional. To what our government does today, they do whatever they want. You know, that's the worst type of government you can have. But power should be concentrated locally. Power is a necessary evil, and if it's going to exist, it should exist on the smallest scale, because once you get to the larger scales, that's how you have mass catastrophe. Once you have one guy named Anthony Fauci doing the wrong thing, everybody has to suffer.
Right.
But if my mayor does the wrong thing, the whole world doesn't suffer. My whole state doesn't suffer. This town will suffer. And the mayor is somebody that I can see and talk to. In fact, I do. I do see him at the gym sometimes. So if he's going to screw us, he's going to face us. When Washington, D.C. screws us, nobody's going to bother them. And they know it, you know, because they don't have to face the people that they're screwing. And that's why, and that's centralized power. That's not the way our country was set up. It was set up to have the states, you know, and then the localities. Because once you give power, and all the worst people in the world want global power. So if you can't change Washington, how are you going to go change Brussels? You know, if global power resides there, or Israel, you have zero chance. You have zero chance now of changing DC. So that's why it can't get to that point. Power should be local. And by power, I mean rational power, not, you know, dictatorial power. Power that's in the interest of that local community.
Even the Europeans can't challenge the power in Brussels because they're all unelected bureaucrats.
Exactly, exactly.
So then what practical steps can, especially Americans listening to this, what steps can they take to protect themselves from the worsening of the situation that you and I both know is coming? And I'm not saying it's going to all, you know, collapse overnight, but this slow erosion of the purchasing power, this erosion of rights, this erosion of our constitutional republic, it compounds, it adds up, it gets worse. How do people protect themselves?
Well, my first word of advice is get away from the mainstream media. You know, that's the worst. That's like the picture when you turn on that TV that this is what the government wants you to believe, because that's what they are. Now they fight, and it, but the fights are controlled. It's kind of like the NFL. You know, you have the Patriots and the Eagles. You know, they're battling each other, and you have their fans and they're fist fighting and the thing. This is a controlled environment. The NFL wins, no matter if the Patriots win or the Eagles win. That's how our empire is. They win no matter if it's Republicans or Democrats. So if you're watching the TV and putting on your blue and red, you're behind the eight ball. You're behind, because you're part of the control. There's nothing that you're fighting if you're a Democrat against a Republican that is, you know, it's fine. Nobody, it won't affect policy in Washington, D.C. They're fine with you fighting over bathrooms and genders. It's perfectly fine, because they're going to continue on their agenda. You're a non-threat. So if you're watching the TV and if you're fighting with your liberal neighbor or Republican neighbor, right off the bat, you're not seeing the overarching people that are running things. You're just, you know, playing the game. You're a part of the game. So I recommend people to slowly, now for someone, I've been out of that red and blue for so long that I forget what it's like, but for somebody that is in it, this is probably new for them. But, you know, it's one team, you know, but they have it broken so that the people fight with one another, because if you're fighting with one another, you're not fighting against them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And once you see who them are, you know, you'll realize that you've been wasting your time with the red and blue stuff.
Yeah, good point. And I want to pivot from that to talk about the real world ramifications of what happens when your government is incompetent and it abandons the real needs of the people. Now, over the July 4th weekend, and I've got an infographic on this entitled Rolling Blackouts Are Here. And what happened is Con Ed, that perhaps you're familiar with there, they had rolling voltage drops across parts of New York. Hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers saw the voltage of their electricity fall from the typical 115 volts to, in some cases, as low as 86 volts, which is basically a blackout for electronics and computers. And there are a number of reasons for this. You know, PJM, the grid controller for the Eastern Grid, serving 67 million Americans. And this does not fall squarely on Trump's lap. This is from, you know, decades of climate cultism and climate alarmism and shutting down power infrastructure. But my point, and I'd love your reaction, is that this begins to have real world ramifications. If you can't deliver kilowatt hours to the American people, or if you can't deliver motor oil or gasoline or diesel or food for that matter, or fertilizer, at some point that matters. At some point you find yourself living in the dark. And this is beginning to happen on high demand days in New York City. What say you?
Yeah, I'm not surprised about it. The way that our government functions, and I just talked about it, is centralization. They really have separated themselves from the people. You know, we're like ants to them. You know, it's a shame. Numbers and ants. And what they're doing with the AI build out, I'm not against AI. I use AI every day. But I do believe that we're in a bubble and that they're over, you know, investing. And a problem that I do have with AI is the people doing it are not doing it for us. They're doing it for
right.
control. They're doing it for surveillance. They're, you know, and that's, but they also are going to run into those problems that you're talking about, and it's going to affect us, you know, and I don't know how it's going to shake out. But they're going by their delusions of grandeur, you know, that they think that they're going to control everybody digitally and just throw everything at it. It's going to end up pretty bad. Now, that's not to say that AI disappears. I hope it doesn't. You know, it's a valuable tool, but it's a tool. I don't use it to surveil. You know, I'm not a megalomaniac like they are. And that's the problem. The whole AI is in bad hands. It's not falling into bad hands. It's starting in bad hands.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem I have. And they're just, you know, but they're so distant, they're so, they have these God complexes that they just have to throw everything in, and whatever happens, you hear Sam Altman, we'll see what happens. It could end up bad. Well, that's bad. That's a big risk that you're taking with all of humanity.
Yeah, it's not just that it could end up badly, that there's a significant percentage of engineers working on AI who believe there's a significant chance that it could end humanity. You're kind of rolling the dice, playing Russian roulette, so to speak, with the entire human race, or some of those companies are.
The worry is, do these people care? And what if
seemingly
they don't? You and I care of humanity's, but what if they're like, it's worth a try. You know, who cares about humanity anyway?
Well, that's what they thought with the atomic bomb scientists also thought there was a non-zero chance that it would ignite the atmosphere and burn up the entire planet. And they said, try it anyway.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. They did. Like,
we're still here.
It's scary.
Let me ask you about the AI infrastructure bubble. Now, like you, I use AI every day. I'm an AI developer. Yeah. I love AI, but I use it for good. I use it to empower people, right? And in fact, you know, we've got a lot of Ron Paul articles. They're indexed in our AI search system. We're quoting Ron Paul all the time. So that's a positive use of AI. But you and I are both old enough to have lived through the dot-com boom and crash. And do you remember, right around 1999, the way people were talking then sounds exactly like the way I hear people talking today, that, the earnings don't matter, the rules have changed, you don't know any, you know, we're the younger generation, we are going to all be trillionaires or something, your old rules don't apply, and every cabbie is going to be a billionaire. Aren't you hearing the same thing now, too? Isn't it wild?
Yes, it's the same, but bigger. You know, I remember eyeballs was the big word back then.
True.
Oh, this company, they're getting all these eyeballs for their website. It was meaningless, and the companies went to nothing. But it was easy money. And again, it goes back to the easy. You get to give me the one sentence synopsis of the Iran war. So if somebody says, well, yeah, put your money into crypto or NVIDIA, and look how much I made. That's so entitled, you know, few people can resist it. They want money. They see their electric bills going up. I need more money. Look at this easy way that my friend made it. And it's so much easier today than back then, you know, creating accounts and trading.
True.
You could do it back then too, but it was the fees for trading. Now you could trade for free. So a lot has changed since then to make it even easier for the average person to get sucked into. And that's why we see with the meme coin, we just, you know, a million people lost, I forget the number, it was some astronomical number. Yeah, on Trump meme coin. But look how, you know, it was so easy to just go get it. And Trump made out like a bandit.
Right.
But so.
But I remember in the aftermath of the crash, of the dot-com crash, that many people lost their entire retirement savings. And as a result, we started to see a wave of people over the age of 60 going back into the workforce. Mm. And so we saw Walmart greeters, for example, who were, you know, grandmothers or in some cases great-grandmothers who should have been retired, but now they were forced back into the workforce. But yet that then counts as GDP. So there's all this economic productivity because all these people lost their life savings and were forced back to work. And somehow that's called a win by the mainstream economists. But you and I know that's a big loss. My point is there are real world ramifications that affect real people from these bubbles. It's not just that people lose their money. It's that they lose 30 years of their working savings. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they have 401ks and they're putting in these new companies that just came out. You know, they're not even waiting.
Like SpaceX.
So you're going to be invested in a highly, highly speculative thing. And, you know, and you'll look at the president and he's just telling you about the Dow and the market as if that's it. You know, that's what I'm saying. They will point at One, I'm not going to say it's insignificant, the Dow, but the Dow is not, you know, the Dow, they adjust, they'll kick out Verizon and put in a good company.
Yes.
You know, a company that's
it's cherry picked.
So they manipulate. Yeah, they'll cherry pick it and then tell you the number. You know, Dow 50,000. Well, look at your bills and your standard of living. Is it going up? Mine isn't. You know, it's harder. It's harder to get by. So I don't care what Trump says about the Dow, but, you know, he'll say it and then his influencers will say it. And then you're like, well, I guess it must be me. That's the problem, you know?
But we both heard this back before the dot-com boom. I remember people calling me crazy in 1999 when I said these dot-com stocks are overvalued. They have no earnings. And everybody had lost their minds. And, all it takes is another generation. Like a new generation who never lived through that. They never paid the price of losing everything. And so they think this time is different, but it's never different, is it?
No, it isn't. And if you tell them it's different, they'll yell at you that you know, don't tell me about that. This is different this time. This is again, a human nature thing. And it's a shame because new generations don't know, you know, and if this, there may be another one after this, if this system holds up, where that generation won't listen to this one.
That's true.
You know, it's, I guess, and that's why it's so important for your own self to get out of that loop, because the loop that the majority of people are in is a tough one.
Yeah.
And we're all in it. It's not that we all, like I get out, I'm in it, you know, I get scammed too. So it doesn't matter. It's just my expertise is on the government, so it's harder for them.
True.
But in general, you know, we're all vulnerable. But when it comes to government, just don't believe them. They're lying.
Yeah, right. Well, if they're speaking, they're lying. That's true. Okay. Yeah. So, Chris, we're going to wrap up this interview here, but I want to give you an opportunity. Tell us anything you'd like about your podcast and the Ron Paul Institute, upcoming events. Just give us a reminder again, and anything you'd like to add.
Yeah, well, thank you for everybody who listened to this. Thank you, Mike, for having me on. If you want to follow my own personal self, I'm on X as at Chris Rossini. But my work is at Ron Paul Liberty Report, and we're on all the major, we're on YouTube and Rumble, and podcasts. So if you look for Ron Paul Liberty Report, you can listen to Ron Paul every day with Daniel from Monday to Thursday. I'm on Friday. And also the Ron Paul Institute. That's ronpaulinstitute.org. Look out soon for tickets so you can come see us. And I'd love to meet you. Tell me, hey, I saw you on Mike Adams' show. That would be awesome. You know, Labor Day weekend in Virginia.
All right, very cool. Yeah, you'll have people that will come up and say that. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for spending time with me today. It's been an honor meeting you and getting to speak with you and just to connect with your organization. So keep up the great work. And as always, let us know how we can help get the word out for you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. Chris Rossini from the Ron Paul Institute, and just really sharp people there. Some of my favorite people are tied to the Ron Paul Institute. So check out their website, ronpaulinstitute.org. And you can find more interviews from my channel at brightvideos.com, since I continue to be blacklisted by YouTube, not surprisingly. But thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams of naturalnews.com and brightvideos.com. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.